You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Boys of 161st Street. I don't know what number this is. I'm just going to stop saying what number it is because who cares? We have some baseball to talk about today. We're going to talk about some minor league baseball. Well, one of the split squads was minor league. The other one that everybody watched, Juan Soto hit a home run. That was pretty cool. Spencer Jones hit a 470-foot bomb. We'll talk about that. Luis Gil looks pretty good. And I wanted to have a little conversation about the potential expansion teams that are coming to the MLB in the next year or so. But yeah, anything else you guys want to chat about before we dive on in?
Juan Soto is good at baseball.
So good.
That confirmed.
Brought a tear to my eye. And I'm almost 27 years old. 27 years old, and my eyes were watering watching that.
He and Judge also just like in the clubhouse seem to be getting along pretty well. That's always good to see. And that 2-3 or wherever they hit in the lineup, back to back in whatever order, it's going to be scary. It's awesome.
Dude, it kind of scares me. Like they get along too well. It scares me that it's like fake. That they always look so happy.
Well,
I'm not used
to
this.
Judge is just an easy guy to be around.
Yeah,
dude. When was the last time we watched?
Soto is just kind of a happy-go-lucky. I feel like Soto is similar vibes to like a Devers type player, where that he just doesn't really say too much and he's just really good at hitting. And that's, I feel like that's a very good comp. But that doesn't shock me that those two are getting along because they
I'm just saying. When was the last time you like watched the Yankees and they look like that? Like. Especially if you watched last year and everybody looked like they wanted to fucking die every day. And now everybody's like laughing and high-fiving and cheering each other on.
Well, it's a new season.
Spring training.
even 2022, like it was cool for like a couple months. I don't know.
I think you can say that about any season.
I'm scared, Damon. I'm scared. It's too happy and like I don't know how to handle it.
I mean, it's the alternative, obviously.
Oh, yeah, if they wanted to kill themselves now, I'd be like, all right, well,
I'm not upset by it. I'm not upset by it. I'm just saying it's. I'm not used to this feeling. Like, I'm always excited because I love the Yankees, but like, they're giving me warm, fuzzy feelings this early, and I'm scared.
Jones has gotten out yet. Sorry, he just walked behind me. He was 3-for-3 the other day. I definitely saw him get a single in this game and he just walked. So I'm pretty sure
he got on base up in front of me. He's 2-for-2 today with a walk.
Yep, there you go.
He's 2-for-2. Yeah.
So he's 5-for-5 in the spring.
It's pretty.
Let's start there. Honestly, hand up. I didn't know too much about Spencer Jones heading into this 470-foot home run. He made his presence known to me at least. I knew, obviously, the Yankees drafted him in the first round, and ever since then, I probably haven't really been looking too much at the minors. But, yeah, it's pretty good, huh? Judge 2.0?
It's pretty embarrassing to say you don't know anything about. We are running a Yankees podcast not knowing who Spencer Jones is. It's like,
all right, to be fair, Chandler, this Yankees podcast has took
a
little break
for a little bit.
But if you've watched any game, they're like, oh yeah, hey, look, there's this other 6'7" dude that hits balls 900 feet. Like,
well,
Aaron Judge
just quite a bit last year. I don't know. He's exciting. And he's also, I think he stole like 40 bases. Like he's fast.
He did.
Also, like, I mean, I don't know how long he'll be that fast for, but it seems like, you know, he's got that extra tool.
And he's lefty.
Yeah, lefty. I mean, he's definitely not going to come up this year, but he's somebody like.
Another Californian kid, too.
You know, I'm glad they gave him an invite because he won't be an A anymore. I think he had like 260 in A ball. Bunch of bombs.
He's like, none of his, like, stats jump off the page from 2023 in the minors. But I mean, look at the, I mean, fucking look at the dude. He's 6'7".
Right.
Hits balls 470 feet. So I don't know. I think he's excited
about
it creates a little bit of an interesting conversation if you do extend Juan Soto and then you have Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Jason Dominguez, and Spencer Jones. Like somebody's gotta not play in the outfield there. But that is a if that is a problem that we have in a year or 2 years from now, then fucking so be it. Like if our problem is that there's not enough room for another all-star, then I have a smile on my face.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a lot better than the days of starting fucking Ryan and not who am I thinking of? Ryan Lamar. There's another an outfielder. Jay Bruce started in the outfield.
The mayor of the Sun. I think he was the original person on
the
Sun.
He was the mayor of the Sun.
He was. I'm gonna find a rotating list. I want to find everyone who played in the outfield for the Yankees last year, and then compare that to what we have coming.
Cordero and
fucking Franchi. Cordero. I forgot about that guy. Yeah, Jesus,
like there were a lot of them last year.
What a fucking embarrassment! Gabriel's you're a $7 billion.
Yeah, no, it's a good problem to have for sure. But also, like you know, I'm usually a prospect hug guy. I was fully ready for them to give him up for a pitcher, and I was kind of okay with that. I'm very happy that didn't happen now, because obviously I don't think Corbin Burns is going to be back to his old Corbin Burns, but, you know, I was like, really, we're going to hold on to another guy? Like, if you have Soto for 1 year guaranteed, maybe they'll re-sign him, maybe they won't, but if they do re-sign him, they're going to have to pay him a shit ton. So it seemed like the time to give up a prospect like that, but now seeing this, I'm all right with holding on to him.
Can we talk about that for a second? I agree with you. Can we talk about that for a second? Like, if the Yankees don't sign Soto, like that, to me, yeah, it's going to be an astronomical amount of money. But if there's one player in the world to give a fucking bag to, and to like, you know that he does well in the bright lights, he does better in the bright lights. So, like, I don't see him having an issue. I mean, his first fucking at bat, albeit it was spring training, it was a home run. Second at bat, he walks first. But either way, like first game, he hits a home run, opposite field. Like he's just a really fucking good player, and he's probably one of the best, if not the best. And he's like 24 years old. So I don't know why they, if they don't re-sign him, I'm just saying that's a catastrophic meltdown.
Yeah. I think they would have
if it wasn't for Boris, right? Boris is his agent.
Yeah. So I think there's one narrative that we can squash now, and that is the camp that's we don't have to pay Soto because look at Spencer Jones. Like
Spencer Jones may look right now. Juan Soto is a confirmed generational talent.
They showed during the
out of the Yankees grasp, I'm upset.
During the game today, they showed players that Soto is younger than. It's like Adley Rutschman, Luis Robert,
Ronald Acuna.
Ronald Acuna. No, there were some other like really seemingly young guys like Josh Jung. I don't know. I wish I could remember off the top of my head or had that prepared. But like there are guys that you're thinking of like the next generation of baseball players. And it just seems like he's not on that list because he's been a solidified star since 2019. But
he won a World Series like 3 or 4 years ago.
Right. Yeah,
and he was like buy a drink legally in the United States, probably.
Like, I mean, Judge didn't get called up until he was like 25, 26. This guy's already been in the league 5 years. If you could have locked up Judge when he was 24, he would have done it.
Right.
If you knew he was
this really quick.
You didn't.
These are our outfielders last year that played games. Greg Allen, Harrison Bader, Jake Bowers, who played God knows way too many fucking games.
For a little bit.
Yes. Jake Bowers, Oswaldo Cabrera, who got sent down. Willie Calhoun, Franchi Cordero, Dominguez, Florial, Aaron Hicks, Dominguez. Judge, obviously. IKF played a pretty good amount in center field.
No, I remember when he went out there.
We were Billy McKinney.
We thought.
Oh, my God. This is just a fucking travesty to look at. And then the point is, even Verdugo this year, like nobody's chomping at the bit about Verdugo. It's not like he was our big prize acquisition, but like, you can't tell me that Verdugo's not an upgrade over Jake Bowers or Billy McKinney.
I'm excited about Verdugo.
I mean, Verdugo realistically isn't happening if Dominguez isn't hurt. But like you said, we're not going to have a carousel of,
fucking imprints
going through. Yeah, like it's going to be, by the time Dominguez comes back, unless something terrible happens in the meantime, it's going to be some combination of Verdugo, Judge, Soto, Dominguez in the outfield.
I could see him flipping Verdugo in the summer once Dominguez gets back healthy and flipping Verdugo for some like back end bullpen arm or something.
Could be. But also, like, you know, Stanton's got an injury history. Like, you, he's still somebody worth holding on to and getting into the rotation because, you know, who God only knows what's going to happen by the time Dominguez comes back. But you're right. I could see them maybe doing that.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he's like a, he's a solid outfielder. He's going to play a lot of games, and he is better than anything we had last year.
It's got a rock.
Especially when Judge went down. Like, you know, last year when Judge went down, we were starting fucking infielders, minor leaguers, like fucking just draw names out of a hat.
Aaron Hicks.
So again, like there's it's no minor leaguers.
We have that depth and might as well use it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I say I'm excited about him, but I say that for the reason that he's better than those names that you're listing right now. And, like, he does the things that you really... He's not a superstar in anything, but he doesn't swing... His K percentage is in the 80th percentile, whiff percentage 94th. Like, those chase rate 85th, those are great, and his arm strength is 95. Like, he does some of those ancillary things very well, and he's not going to swing and miss a bunch. Like, that's all you can really ask for. I mean he's coming on the heels of his predecessors that actually were the opposite of all of those stats, had a noodle arm and swung at everything. So as long as he's not, like we said in the last episode, like an automatic out, I think we're in a good spot for some. And he could be a nice lefty leadoff like he did in the game today. Like, he hit a nice double, and they said in the broadcast that he's a doubles machine. I don't remember that, but I guess if he's a doubles machine, that's pretty fucking cool.
Hit 37 doubles last year, 39 the year before that. Like, he gives you stability, which we have not had in years. And yeah, we might not. We'll see what happens. But, like, at face value, that's one thing that sticks out about this roster, is that there's actual, for the first time in God knows how long, we have stability. We have everyday starters. Like, it's not just a bunch of platoon guys that you glue together and hope for the best. And yeah, I am fucking ecstatic to not have to watch... Like, it was anybody's guess last year who was going to start on any given day. And I mean, even back to when we were doing this in 2022, like, it was a running joke of, oh, what is Boone going to pull out of his hat today? And like, yeah. So
that's a good point.
I mean, to me, you have a bona fide nine starters. The only position that might platoon is catcher of Wells and Trevino while you're getting Wells broken into the big leagues.
And to be honest, I hope it is a platoon between those two. I think that's a better mix than just saying, hey, Wells, it's your job, because he's probably not ready for that, at least defensively. Maybe offensively he is. And then on the other side, Trevino can do it. He can have stretches where he can hit the crap out of the ball, and then he can have stretches where he comes back down to earth, but he's always going to be a good defensive catcher. And like we've said before, that's the only reason, like, that's the one thing I would ask for in a catcher, and that's why having him and Higgy in years past was great for us, because that was like it was very topical in the moment because we were talking about getting rid of Gary. So like, all we wanted was somebody who could be an automatic out at the catcher position, because we have hitters all throughout the rest of the lineup, and a guy who is just competent at catcher. So
you talk about Higgy, seeing him in a Padres uniform stung a little bit.
I just saw Wandy in the Padres jersey too, and it just looks weird.
Yeah.
Michael King. Ugh. I didn't like Michael King in the Padres jersey.
That Michael King got moved. And I feel bad saying
he was
that.
The headliner.
Yeah.
I know he was. And that's why I was like, damn, like I don't know. It felt like we didn't give up much for Soto. Cause I'm like, yeah, all right, Brito's gone, like, whatever. And then they mentioned on the broadcast today during the spring game, like, Michael King. And I didn't know Michael King was doing that deal, but it just kind of reminded me. I was like, damn, we could have really still used him. Obviously worth it. But
yeah, obviously, you know, worth it.
Like, that's,
I was looking really at, like, I was looking Michael at, King. Yeah, I was looking at, pitcher rankings coming into this year. I forget where it was, but he was number 30, and I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy. It's warranted. He's very fucking good, but, you know, we never thought of him as that guy until, like, about when he was traded. You know, he was always like, oh, wow, this guy's pretty good. Like, he can be the Chad Green jackknife kind of guy, and then he works his way into the rotation, that kind of thing. Like, it's kind of wild that he's now the 30th ranked going into the season among all of this, like, the starting pitchers.
Don't you ever say Chad Green.
Chad Green, like, when he was good. I meant Chad Green in the sense that Chad Green, when he was nasty, was going to go multiple innings and can do that. And if your starter blows it in the beginning of a game, yeah. I'm not saying Chad Green when he sucked. I'm saying Chad Green when he was... Because there was a time when Chad Green was great.
Yeah. Speaking of Sun guys, that's a guy we left off, Chad Green, when we were talking about it last week.
Where is he now? Fucking,
he was a Blue Jay last year.
Yeah, he was on Toronto.
So Sun. Yep, that's what I was asking. The important questions only.
Yeah, I think he's still on the Blue Jays. Yeah, he is. I was going to say, I think he just absolutely fucking diced us up last year, if I remember correctly, which is not shocking. That was the most inevitable thing ever, that he was going to come back and turn into 2017 Chad Green. But
yeah,
so it was Wandy.
That was his FIP. I was going to say, wow, 267. That's not bad at all. Yeah, he did not have a good year last year. So he had better years with the Yankees. Every year with the Yankees.
I mean, he's coming off Tommy John last year.
Yeah, but for some reason, I thought he was good.
No. Dude, this was a very hot button issue for us. Like, when we were, like I said, like 2 years ago, this was one of our most hot button issues, was like how fucking unreliable Chad Green is.
Yeah, because when
we had a whole 30-minute segment about all of his clutch statistics on Baseball Reference. Like, he's not a clutch player. He's not a good bullpen arm.
Oh, they gave him a 2-year club option.
You want to talk about the bullpen real quick and do a top of the dome trust tree where you stand right now?
The bullpen has like four names that are the same from last year.
Okay.
If that. So like, it's kind of tough to do.
I mean, it's something we definitely should talk about. Like,
I mean, yeah.
One thing I'm excited about. I'm excited about Luis Gil. Like, he was pumping 97, 98.
Yeah,
he started their first game, struck out four or five people. I mean, he looked good. I think he gave up a run or two, but like whatever. He looked, for not throwing in a year and a half, He looks pretty fucking good. I forgot how good he was, and like obviously he wasn't gonna win a Cy Young or anything, but when he came up, everybody, you know, us included, this is pretty
Ryan
fucking
Hope
exciting.
Is projecting. He's projecting Clay Holmes, Scott Efros, Victor Gonzalez, Ian Hamilton, Tommy Canley, Loaiza Marinaccio, and Luke Weaver.
Efros is on the 60-day IL.
Yeah, so that is not going to happen. So let's say, actually, that kid, who's that kid, the lefty that pitched today? I don't know if any of you guys watched
Nick
the game.
Ramirez?
He looked pretty good.
I don't know.
No, it was with an M. I don't know. He looked pretty good.
Mischwitz?
Yes. Thank you.
Actually?
I think so.
All right.
I don't know.
Kind of crazy. That's something that we didn't see coming. Ron Marinaccio got sent down last year. You think he'll rebound?
Hope so.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'll make the roster, honestly.
That would suck.
Also tough.
That's coming off of, you know, us talking about him being the next closer. Right? Chandler, at least, was pumping the tires of him, and he looked pretty fucking good. Yes, you did.
I pumped the tires on him. I didn't say he was the next closer.
You said they could be grooming him to be the next closer.
I said that for Loaiza.
No, we definitely collectively, as a podcast, said he was going to be the next closer at some point.
We definitely talked about
Marinaccio
a lot
awesome.
About that.
I'm not saying you were wrong, but I'm just saying it's a fall from grace.
Chandler, there was definitely a time where you thought he was the best reliever in our bullpen. There's no way.
There is.
Like, in terms 100%. Of reliability, that's what we were talking. In that conversation, you said he was number one. And I didn't disagree.
He was
disagree.
For a
yeah.
little bit.
Yeah, just I don't crazy. Think anybody
him and Michael King were 1A and 1B. Like, and then he just kind of died. I don't know.
Ooh, Caleb.
Hopefully he comes back.
So we're just playing the name game right now.
No, I'm looking at like who name could possibly like. Be in the reliever.
I'm excited for Canley. I know Canley just in general as a locker room presence. I'm not sure if you guys have been seeing the social media clips, but like who they were doing the thing of like who would you least likely want to sit next to on a plane, and everybody said Canley. Like, he just, I feel like he's one of those people that even if he doesn't be like, if he's not the Canley of old that we've had in the like just on the field, just as a locker room guy, he's a really good one. He's what Murph was basically saying Sessa was back in the day, but times a million.
Yeah, I don't
I'd also
really
like
know
him to be
Sessa
good though,
even as much as
yeah, no, I would like him to be good too because like, of all the names you listed out, like, we need him to be good to have the bullpen not be an issue.
But he's I also think these pitched. Guys, like the two we got from the Dodgers, Gonzalez and now I can't remember who the other guy was, the other reliever. But anyway, I think Victor Gonzalez is supposed to be
Beater?
Pretty good. Nah, we got Beater
who
from
said
for
Beater?
Like Gallo, I think.
Oh yeah,
but also from I don't know. Like it seemed like we were bringing in some pretty decent relievers, and if there's anything I can give Cashman credit for, the only thing I'll give credit Cash Cashman credit for is figuring out the bullpen. He always is bringing in somebody.
I'll give him a little credit for Juan Soto.
That's true.
that little guy we added this year.
Well, yeah,
but I'm excited for Jonathan Loaisiga. I think Jonathan Loaisiga, if he can come back and he can be back to form, because I know he spent most of last year hurt, or he kind of was a victim of soft contact, it felt like. But when he was on the field, he was pretty ineffective and he was hurt most of the year. If he can return to 2021, 2022 and be a dominant dude throwing 100 out of the bullpen, like, I mean, he's your setup man behind Clay Holmes, ideally, if he's right. And if that's Canley, a pretty dominant 1-2 punch. If they have that, the bullpen will be just fine, because I trust Canley in the seventh. I trust Loaisiga in the eighth if he's healthy. And, you know, Clay Holmes has been just a model of consistency the most part. He's had a few blow-up months, but he's been pretty damn good for the last couple of years.
So if we can
get that back three, that's pretty fucking special, and we'll be okay.
I mean, just looking at his
And the bullpen's been a strength every year.
No, I agree. No, I meant about Loaisiga like returning to form. Like we're talking about his like 2019 form.
No, 2021, he was nasty. 2021, I'm looking at his stats right now. He was in the 99th percentile in just about everything.
Okay, so it's 2021. But it feels like, so that's been 3 years in a row then.
Yeah, but the last 2 years, 22 and 23, he's pitched a collective 48 and 17 innings in those 2 years.
Right. Well, so really, 48 innings for a reliever is a decent amount.
I know, and that's not terrible. But the year before that, in 21, he pitched 70.2.
Phew.
And so talk about the sample size, too. The 70.2 innings, and he was in the 99th percentile in just about every fucking statistic.
You know who else we didn't mention? Sorry, I hate to like completely pivot back to the outfield, but we didn't even mention Frank Grisham.
Yeah, let's talk about it. He's not much. I mean, like, but
just with that outfield stability.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's a name. Here's what it is. He's a bona fide name in the outfield. Not bona fide, maybe, but he's a MLB name in the outfield. So if shit were to hit the fan, we could throw him out there versus like Ryan Lamar. Like that's what I'm liking about that. And Trent Grisham, like during that time when the Padres were like the Slam Diego Padres, he was playing pretty fucking well back then too. So I think he gives you a good field. He gives you good lefty at bat. I'm not saying pinch hit, but like he's a known commodity in MLB. So
he's only 27. So like there's still some in the tank there. Maybe they can unlock something. Maybe there's something he can find with the short porch there. He's not going to get enough playing time, I don't think.
So I hope he like is a solidified bench guy / emergency at bat.
I think his absolute ceiling, which would involve injuries to get to this point, would be like a Bader. That's the best he can be, because he's coming in as like a serviceable outfielder, and maybe he catches a little fire with the bat here and there. Maybe he comes up clutch here or there. I don't know. I think that's the absolute best he could possibly be is Bader.
It's pretty good. I think that's pretty good fair comp. I think that's fair. And if he is that, then that's great.
I'd say a lefty Bader with a little more pop.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, Bader was kind of Babe Ruth for a minute there. I don't know.
For like six really, games. Really enough.
In the playoffs, though, when it mattered.
All the time. He was like, I don't know.
Speaking of Bader, have you seen him since he went to the Mets? He's got the fucking ginger beard going.
He looks like a lost puppy.
He looked good without the beard. I don't know why he went back to.
Well, he had the flowing hair when he was with the Cardinals, and he just looked great. And then he looked good too. And now it's just like, he kind of looks like, if I'm remembering right, kind of looks like Cooper Kupp a little bit, but not in a good way.
A lot of it, actually. Yeah. Like Walmart.
He walked so Brendan Donovan could run. For the Cardinals, they look the exact same.
Absolutely love the Cardinals, and then they're just really not as good as I thought they were going to be. But
on paper, they look amazing every year. Yeah. They're exactly like the Yankees, except in
the National League Yankees.
I agree. Oh well. Back to the bullpen. I feel like it'll come together. Right now, it's just a lot of names that I don't really know much about.
I think they're going to be just fine.
I think it's a good thing, though. I feel like not knowing the people. I feel like those. I don't know. I feel like a lot of superstars that are in our bullpen right now were once people who were just like, "Who the fuck is this guy?"
Right.
Remember Clay Holmes?
Perfect example. Clay Holmes. Yeah. Right. Like, who the fuck is Clay Holmes? So
that video is all time.
Arnott's yeah.
And we all reacted to the trade for Clay Holmes because we were expecting to get... Who was it at the time we wanted to get?
It was... No, we traded away Park. We were like, yeah. I know. So upset and about
Chandler
that.
Chandler was like, Hoy Park's awesome.
Yeah. Like, I hope we trade yeah. away Hoy Park.
No, but I think we wanted a bigger move. Who did we want at the time?
I can't remember.
Every trade deadline, we wanted a big name reliever.
It was really funny.
But yes. Maybe it was David Bednar, honestly.
Yeah, he was on the market.
He wasn't even there yet. Like, that was the next year, I think. That good yet. I think it was the year before that, even.
Yeah.
It was something.
Either way, like the point being, I trust the Yankees to, if they can do one thing right, it's find some diamonds in the rough in the bullpen and make them bona fide studs. So
that's a good point.
I think, yeah, we might not know right now who the stars of this bullpen will be. It might just be, you know, A, B, C, random guy that end up being nasty. So,
yeah.
And I don't want to bank on that, but like, I think there's enough of a sample size that we have seen.
So I was expecting to have a little more news on Blake Snell by the time we recorded today. Is that like,
seems like all bad news by now.
That's what I'm saying. Like the other day it seemed inevitable and now I'm like, but now I really still can't decide whether I'd be happy if we signed him or not. Like, yes, I would.
I would. What do you mean?
I mean, I'd be happy.
Yeah, it's not your money. Who fuck cares?
Let me correct myself. I'd be happy if we signed him. But once it was like, I'm not as disappointed as I thought I was going to be. I don't know why. Can't really explain it.
What do you mean?
I
had to
do with our Nestor and Clark Schmidt conversation.
I think I'm just tired of hearing the buzz about it. Like at this point, I'm just kind of over it.
And that's true.
I think that the Yankees need another starter, and I like Blake Snell would be awesome. I'm kind of over thinking about it. I'm kind of over the rotating headlines of the Yankees love Blake Snell. The Yankees don't want him. The Yankees want him now. They want him short term. No, they don't. They want a potential long term. They don't want him at all. Like, I'm just fucking, I'm over it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Now they want Dylan Cease again. Like, today, now that's their new shiny toy that
I would like
they're
him.
Just really on the hunt for. But I don't believe that either. I think we're going to go into the season with what we have. And I hope, you know, I hope it sticks. But we have a lot of young, exciting starters. So.
I agree. And anything more than what we go into as it stands today is like a cherry on top. That would be nice. That's a good mentality to have, I think, going into it, because if you don't, you're probably going to be disappointed. But, I mean, Judge says that there's going to be another move, so he hasn't lied to us.
Just like Hal said there would be another move last year.
Yep. But Hal didn't say this. I trust Judge more than I do Hal, when inevitably Hal's obviously the one that needs to sign off on the deal, so he could be speaking out of school, but I don't know why. Having him say that makes me feel like it actually is going to happen.
Well, it adds more like it makes it seem more real when a player,
like the players want it.
Yeah,
when
the players are actually hyping up and saying, because that means that information is coming through the grapevine and they might know something. They might not say exactly who it is. They might not even know that either, but there's definitely moves in the works that are trying to be done before.
And guys like Judge are probably also like
part of the conversation.
trying to recruit guys like Snell. Like, I'm sure he has a good relationship with everybody, so
yeah,
he'd be a good recruiting guy. I mean, yeah,
I think in the whole recruiting process, going back to Soto, I mean, like, Judge and the team is going to be huge in convincing Soto that he wants to stay in New York afterwards too.
Yeah,
that's all they're talking about.
Yeah, to be honest, like, it's kind of crazy that a team that didn't make the playoffs in a prior year is looking as sexy of a landing spot as it is right now because of one guy. And that's just a credit to how fucking awesome Soto is. And then you have a guy in Judge who obviously is the captain. He won MVP the prior year, but the 2 years ago, and then Garrett Cole. Like, it's still, because it's so good on paper, it's just a little wild to me that it's like, this is still a premier landing spot for everybody. And I don't know. That just doesn't seem like it would be the case with every other team that missed the playoffs.
I was looking through our Instagram earlier today, and I saw the ALCS roster that we were going up against the Astros in 2022. And like, even that roster, like, this is night and day better. Like, Bader, Cabrera, Matt Carpenter, Josh Donaldson, Higgy, like, obviously, like, Judge and that, but Tim LaCastro, IKF.
Don't you shit on Matt Carpenter. Matt Carpenter was literally Barry Bonds for
a month
until he got hurt. If he was still healthy, I think he'd still
be
kicking
it. Post-injury. He couldn't fucking walk when he was at the ALCS roster. The point I'm trying to make is look at our roster now.
I know. I'm just saying.
He came back like September 28th.
I remember like, being at your house, Murphy. We were at your house watching that.
I remember that too.
It's imprinted in my brain, that graphic that was on the TV when Matt Carpenter was up, and it was like, it was literally comparing him to like Barry Bonds. it was like the stretch that he was on, and it's just wild that I don't know. I just don't like the disrespect to Matt Carpenter because that was a very cool time. I'm gonna find that graphic too. Continue.
Disrespecting Matt Carpenter. I'm just using that to make a point that this year's roster with the Verdugo and even, you know, like you said, down to Grisham, hey, we have depth and we have solid baseball players for the first time in a while. So if they can stay even remotely healthy, I sounded kind of pessimistic when we talked last time, but I'm talking myself into it more and more. Like, I feel pretty fucking good about this team if they stay healthy. Oh, I found it. It's Matt Carpenter, Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig, and Babe Ruth.
Oh, I found this thing. We made a tick pick. But Matt Carpenter, before discovering tick pick, he was batting 169, 3 home runs, and 21 RBIs. And after discovering tick pick with the Superman cape on, and in 2022, he was 354, 13 home runs, 34 RBIs, and that was probably in like 5 games. Bring back Matt Carpenter. And also, funny enough, just a trip down memory lane, the next post to the left of that was a video clip of us talking about trading for Soto. So, kind of look to how far we've come. That's really fun.
Trent Grisham, I guess, said that he took advice from Matt Carpenter on playing in the Bronx.
He knows a thing or two.
I'd say it worked out pretty well for Mr. Matt Carpenter as far as reviving the career goes.
That's what I'm saying.
That graphic that you were talking about, Chandler, the one thing too is those names, these are all names, Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth, and Matt Carpenter, of Yankees, in Yankees history, players to have games of 7-plus RBIs in a season. Multiple games of 7-plus RBIs in a season. It was in like 2 weeks. So
it went scorched crazy. Earth for like, well, I saw something that's like name stuff that was like a Linsanity takeover moment, except for Jeremy Lin. And I didn't even think of Matt Carpenter at the time, but that would be a pretty good one.
Here's another one too. Matt Carpenter, not to just go on Matt Carpenter forever, this is my last stat on him, but Matt Carpenter threw his first 28 games of 2022, 338 batting average, 11 home runs, 24 RBIs, a 1.319 OPS. Barry Bonds threw his first 28 games of 2000, which is one of his best years, was 284 batting average, 11 home runs, 22 RBIs, 1.08 OPS versus 1.3. Makes you think a little bit. So,
okay. Well, talking about Yankees that aren't 45 and had a 2-month awesome skid.
Well, he retired too. So we can, I mean, maybe he comes out of retirement.
I think Anthony Volpe looked pretty good the other day, and all these clips of Anthony Volpe, his little swing tweaks and his bat path adjustments and everything, I'm pretty excited. I don't know, like, the person who loves DJ LeMahieu in me doesn't want him to be taken over as the leadoff hitter. Just, he's done such a good job for so long, like winning batting titles, damn near won an MVP hitting out of the leadoff spot. But yeah, you can't tell me the idea of Volpe hitting there isn't a little exciting.
The future is now, old man.
Yeah.
DJ was great, but I think it's, and I'm not saying this can happen right now, but I think, like we were saying last year, which I think was a little premature, Volpe probably, in my mind, at the midway point past All-Star break, I would expect to be leading off or at least moving up in the lineup a little bit. But
if he takes the natural next step, he should be up there.
Yeah. But again, like I said on the last episode, I feel like Verdugo might be a good fit there too.
Wait, I'm sorry. We're talking about Volpe taking over for DJ?
Lead off.
Because who's playing third in this situation?
DJ's playing third. He's our starting third baseman.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I thought you were implying that.
These are three names that are all in the lineup already. We're just messing with the order.
I thought you meant taking over DJ as in like DJ's getting bumped if he's in there.
No.
This is such a good problem
to have too, that we have three legitimate leadoff hitters. Like, yeah. Again, look back and over the last few years, it's DJ LeMahieu or you're forcing Gleyber Torres in the leadoff spot down our throat, or Anthony Rizzo or Judge or Luke Voit. Like, there's so many people that have hit leadoff that had no fucking business being there. Now we have options, and that again, you want to look for something to be excited about. We have options. There's diversity in this lineup. It's not just, like Luke said, power hitters, strikeout guys. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty pumped. I wouldn't even be upset about Verdugo.
It's a balanced lineup.
I think I would like Verdugo leading off. I don't know why.
You just convinced yourself
because it's
trendy and off the wall.
It's not trendy and off the wall. I mean, we've got a lot of looks at him because when he was on the Red Sox, I just think he's a, I don't know, maybe I'm being a prisoner of the moment and maybe I'm just overly optimistic because he's a new person in the lineup. But I think Judge said today about him too, which I kind of agree with. He's a kind of a gamer. Like we always, at least I kind of hated him for that reason when he was on the Red Sox.
Because he
was another Boston guy who would cheer and scream and this and that. And he was wearing the chains or whatever. Like now that he's on our team, like the horses, the shoes on the different foot, you know,
Really that similar to Johnny Damon, but like there aren't a lot of comparisons I can go with. All I'm saying is the sentiment that I felt when he came over was the same.
I hated that comparison.
Johnny Damon when he came to the Yankees and he was sloppy Red Sox player, but still like I was not thrilled that we were getting Verdugo. I never cared for him. He still has to show me something before I start to like him. But I am glad he's on the roster. He fills a needed spot for sure. But yeah,
it's honestly
not
kind of fair.
Yeah,
that's a good comparison. I was laughing at you at first, but the more I think about it, like that's not a bad comparison at all.
I didn't hate Ellsbury as much as I hated Damon. So like
that's because Ellsbury didn't do anything. He had the personality of a fucking stump. Like
I mean, I hated him once he got here because he didn't do
anything.
Oh yeah, me too.
But when he came, I was excited.
But like Verdugo was the perfect anti-Yankee. Like he had the big nasty beard and
he looked like a Red Sox. Like that was a Red Sox.
Yeah, he was ginger beard and jawy and just.
You also
fucking,
don't see like chains and tattoos like that on the Yankees as much in Boston.
Yeah,
a little like more
like you look at him.
I mean,
and
it's
like
a different
Justin Turner. Like a Justin Turner with the big red beard. Like that's a person from Boston. We have a lot of Boston friends, and they don't look like that, but I know they have friends that look like that. And that's like what a Boston, like they were construction.
That's your cousin from Boston right there.
Yeah, your cousin from Boston. He's doing construction in between innings, and then he comes out and he's with his big Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and like that's who he is. And I think
their own ballpark.
Yeah. Just a bunch of blue collar, or they call themselves blue collar. But one thing just to put a button on Verdugo is like not every player has to be a superstar and he can just fill a role. And that's exactly what I want out of him. And that's why I'm excited. So also, don't hear what I'm not saying. Like I'm excited for what role he's going to have.
I do think that this year's team has a little bit of a different feel in terms of like, you know, the whole like, is he a Yankee kind of deal? Like they've brought in some guys that I wasn't quite sure in the traditional sense are the Stromans of the world. You know, Verdugo,
thank God,
Stroman, and we needed him. And I think it's a different feel to the team, and we needed a shakeup like that. And I think it's a welcome thing. And I don't think anybody's even a little bit upset about it. So
yeah,
it's awesome.
We talk about that traditional Yankee way hasn't fucking worked in 20 years. Like
it's just I don't know. I think it's a new feel. And I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like watching the. It's like every time we watch Braves games, I'm always so jealous that their team just looks like they're having so much fun. They all have like their swagger about them. I'm just like, watch the Yankees, and they're just so boring.
They're so polished.
I want someone to get angry. Someone do something. Someone get excited.
And that's kind of the fault of Judge is that he's so fucking good, but he never will like show his emotions or do anything like Soto would. Soto will literally grab his nuts. He did it in a spring training game today already. So it's nice to watch that kind of fire. And I know that's what Verdugo has. Like he's gotten in fights with people in the left field stands before at Yankee Stadium. Just start fighting people. I know we've had that conversation. Yeah. Let's just be scumbags. Like everybody already hates Yankee fans. Like let's just have them be the team that everybody hates, like the Pistons back in the day. Like I want some people to just fucking, and I don't really watch basketball that much, so tell me if that was a good reference or not. But I think
that was a good reference.
Okay, good. I watched The Last Dance. cut that part out. Now leave it in. But yes,
I think
I agree.
They're also all going to feed off each other, especially. I think that with Juan Soto's presence, Verdugo, Stroman, you know, hopefully he'll light a spark that's going to accelerate and it's going to motivate other members to just kind of like get some swagger into them as well.
Yeah. And it's
dare
like,
I say it unlocks a new level of Aaron Judge that can kind of just hang out, have fun. A less businesslike Aaron Judge? I don't think so. I think that's just who he is.
No,
but
yeah. No.
I think want to spend a
play looser, you play better.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to start grabbing a crotch, but yeah, I think he'll open
you
don't be open to it.
Judge will always be the Jeter of that team. So if you want to talk about a Johnny Damon coming in and being that guy, like those guys did not make Jeter more of a dick. He just kept beating himself.
You need someone level-headed.
Yeah, whatever. Keep the rest of them in mind.
What other nut jobs are there on the market? I want to go get the craziest motherfuckers out there.
I mean, we have some crazy motherfuckers.
Can we trade for Karinchak?
That's who we need. Like, we need some kind of. Like, I mean, Canley's that.
Yeah, I was about to say Canley.
Canley's batshit crazy.
We need to get that new guy from the Rangers who's just like fighting everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, Rem. What is it?
Rempy.
Ren and Stimpy. You remember that show?
No.
Just me. No. Okay.
One for two with references.
It was a cartoon back in the day.
Rempy. That's who
Matt
we need.
Yeah, we need Matt Rempy just fucking.
I would love
light
to
a
see
spark.
Him getting rowdy.
That's a
I mean,
big
Stroman
dude.
Too. Stroman's like that. Did you see that video? Speaking of Stroman, of Garrett Cole doing the bullpen, and Stroman just like doing a double take, and he's
wearing
like, damn,
his 2004 Yankees shirt.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like I know we've already talked about that, but he's like still doing that. He's like so happy to be a Yankee, or he's doing his best like spirit Halloween impression of a Yankee fan. And it's amazing.
I kind of love it, honestly.
I do too.
It was Carrabas or somebody, some like Red Sox like Barstool type guy, did have a good comment to that, and it was like, oh yes, my favorite Yankees team because it was 2004. I was like, oh fuck, that was a good one. That was a good one.
Good stuff.
That was great.
Yeah. I'm just excited. It's like today turning on spring training felt more. I've never felt as excited in probably over a year. Even going into the year before last year into 2022, like I didn't feel as excited.
Well, 2022 had expressions, but it tightens the shorts a little bit.
It tightens the shorts. Pants 10.
2022 had just kind of like there was just a dark cloud over it because of the Judge contract negotiations, and couldn't even really enjoy it. Like,
yeah,
everybody got hurt. Judge single-handedly carried that team to, you know, he broke the AL home run record, but still at the back of everyone's mind, like, oh, are they gonna pay him? Who knows? And then Brian Cashman's like on a fucking media tour, like, yeah, who fuck him? We don't even need him. Like,
yeah, that's a good point. Like, all right, yeah, whatever, this year we've made our move. Everything else is. You know, on top of it.
Yeah, but even this, like, we don't know if Soto's going to be locked up, but I don't know why, but for some reason, I don't feel as nervous as I do at Judge situation because of, like you said, what Cashman was saying. And I feel like the general sentiment around Soto is like, of course, we're going to re-sign him. It's just a matter of what number. And I say that, and I'm not, I hope that doesn't become, you know, bulletin board and like it comes out and I look like an idiot. But I say that because if that does not happen, I have lost all faith in this. Like, there is no one else in the world, probably in the next 20 years, that you ever should give the bag to other than Juan Soto. Like, I would.
Who? At the end of the day, like, if he doesn't, like, he has to want to be here too. And, like, that's the thing with Aaron Judge, and I think why it's different. If he left, he was a homegrown superstar that loved New York, that we just, like, publicly showed our ass and, like, made a spectacle out of when it was he wanted to be there and we drove him away. Like Juan Soto, he's here for a year. I'm taking it at that. I think we should. I think it makes way too much sense. But you know, at the end of the day, he has to want to be here. He has to enjoy New York. And I think he will. And I think he'll ultimately end up signing here long term. But if he doesn't, like this part of why it feels different too. Like it feels like an all in year. The Yankees haven't had an all in year in a long time. Like they've kind of played that bullshit game of we kind of want to dip our toe into compete, like we want to be good but we don't care if we're great. Like if we make the playoffs and sell tickets, fine. It feels like this year some sort of fire was lit. It was like, all right, we got Juan Soto, we're going all in. That's why I still think a move for maybe not Snell but another big ticket pitcher might be in the works. I'm not holding my breath, but it wouldn't shock me. And it wouldn't shock me if they do something crazy at the deadline either, if they miss out on a pitcher now, because it feels like an all-in year. And that's part of what makes it so exciting. I think that's why the like the vibe and the energy around the team is so much different compared to normal.
And I think that like all-in year is because Soto is on a one-year deal currently. Like if he had been locked up already, then they could be like, ah, we could just push all our chips in any of these next, like, name your year in the next 8 years of his whatever his extension is going to be. And having him on that one-year deal, like, there is no guarantee that he's going to be on the team next year. So if you're the Yankees front office, Brian Cashman and everybody else, like, you know that, like, if there's a deadline to go in on other people, if there's a free agent to add for 1 year, like a Blake Snell, like, this is the year to do that because you have no fucking clue what the next couple of years are going to be.
Are we talking Montgomery here? If not Snow,
Montgomery. That I think somebody Jack Curry said on the broadcast day that Montgomery and Snell are not happening.
Yeah, like I don't know if I necessarily think Montgomery would be much more.
It'd be fine.
Like it'd be fine, but like
it's pitching depth. I think people are going to get hurt. So if he's there, then you know you at least have people.
Like not that he's not good, but I don't know.
I'd rather that than run out. You know. You need like 7 or 8 pitchers ready to go for a full MLB season. And especially with a team that has Rodon coming off an injury and other people that have had injury history. So I think if you don't prepare for the worst.
Montgomery was pretty goddamn good.
I'd be happy about it. And we know he can pitch in the Bronx too. So it's like not even like a Frankie Montas or Sonny Gray situation.
Man, would have been really cool if Montas worked out. Huh?
Yeah, that would have been sick.
I love the idea of Dylan Cease, by the way. I don't think I would trade Spencer Jones either, but I love the idea of getting Dylan Cease around Matt Blake. I love the idea of if he can learn to locate his pitches and not walk like fucking 15 dudes a game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Cy Young contender instantly. So add that. I think adding a guy who his stats show he's more of a middle tier starter, but if you unlock the ace level potential and you add that behind Gerrit Cole, who we know is a Cy Young, and you add that behind Carlos Rodon, who hopefully he fucking bounces back, and Marcus Stroman and Nestor Cortez and Clark Schmidt, like the sky's the limit.
Agreed. Like, shorts are definitely tight. Good conversations. I like what we brought to the table today. Just kind of a open forum state of the Yankees situation. One thing I want to talk about before we jump out of here, because I have to run, the expansion teams, just quickly, what teams do you think, or what teams would you like, what cities would you like to see have expansion? I think Nashville was a good one. I think that'd be fun.
Basically a foregone conclusion from what I've heard.
Yeah, I saw, and all the comments on that post that I saw was all like Nashville's done. So what other team? What are the
Carolinas, north or south? Like a Charlotte rally.
Charleston.
No, Charlotte.
The Charlotte rally. No, it can't be Charleston because they have the River Dogs, right?
Yeah, and they have the Charleston Stingrays, the minor league hockey team. So
can't do that.
Yeah, I think the Carolinas would be a good fit. I think Vegas, but if the A's, I honest to God have no fucking idea what's going on there. It changes like every other week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if they played inside of the sphere?
I don't know if you know how shape
I don't even works. Know what to say to that.
I know how it works.
Let's see.
Maybe they should call up the Savannah Bananas.
See if they wanted to make the jump.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I don't know.
I feel like Nashville, and then you're going to look at, I think we basically hit all of them.
Wyoming?
I'm kind of interested to see how it works. Do you guys know how that works? Like adding another team? Like
no,
as far as expansion drafts and shit?
The NHL just did this. If you add one, you have to add 2 to get to 32 in order to get, and then there'd probably be some division realignment from there. You know,
I'm talking about like, do we have to worry, like protect players and shit?
Oh, I don't know.
Interesting.
Wasn't it like that, Murph? Wasn't it a draft?
Well, that's what the NHL did. Yeah, but the NHL has had kind of a lot of expansion teams. So like that was like how they've always done it. We'd have to look back and see when like the Rays came into the league, how that happened. But
yeah. Because like when the Vegas Golden Knights were a thing, I know me and Damon didn't.
Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, me and Damon didn't really care about hockey. So we declared ourselves Vegas Golden Knights. We just kind of wrote Golden Knights and in a Hanes white t-shirt.
And then they won the Stanley Cup.
To which we didn't watch a single game. But either way, I remember that there was protected players, and then there was just a pool of everybody who was available to pick.
I think NHL, you took one player from each team, and then each team could protect, like, I think it was like 8 or 10 players, but really, you know, some older guys on bad contracts that were theoretically good might not have been worth bringing in, because like you can't get too stacked with the payroll in the NHL because it's a salary, it's a hard cap. With baseball, I think it'd be a little bit more complicated than that in terms of financially doing that.
Interesting. Would be interesting for sure. All right, that does it.
Montreal
for me.
Would also be cool.
Montreal would be cool. I mean, they've been talking about doing that for like the Rays, even. So I think that would be kind of nice to do.
Back. That'd be sick.
That's what I mean. Now that you say that, Montreal and Nashville feel like the two answers.
What about London?
No. I hate that the NFL
London,
is trying
Texas,
to do that.
Maybe.
is that a place?
Is it a place?
London, Ontario.
I think you're thinking of Lubbock, Texas.
No, I'm thinking of one. There's got to be
the Biloxi Shuckers.
There's got to be everything.
The Biloxi Shuckers.
There is London, Ontario, though. We could do that.
The Biloxi Shuckers field is awesome. It's right next to the Beau Rivage. If you're ever looking for some casino, golf, and baseball, great place.
Sounds like a great time.
Hartford would be cool, but that would never happen.
No. The yard
Hartford,
goats.
Connecticut.
I don't know. They had an NHL team for a little while.
Well, Connecticut doesn't have any teams. Like, they should.
There's a reason
like
for that. There's a reason. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I like Connecticut.
It's a terrible state.
We all went to
That's
school
why.
There. I don't know. Other than Chandler,
no,
we all
I'm
went to school.
Thinking,
I had a great
I'm
time in Connecticut.
Of cities that don't have a baseball team but had other teams or have had other
teams.
Oklahoma
cities City. That just, like, don't
Nashville.
Suck.
Yeah, Oklahoma City. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, Green just Bay. Having like. There's like so many in states that already exist. I want a new state to get a team. Like, I mean, Florida has like how many fucking teams? New York has how many fucking teams?
Yeah,
like all
the thing is that they're going to die. Every one of those teams is in like the only real, I think the only two cities that could work are what we mentioned in Nashville, maybe Montreal, but they failed the first time. And then like, you know,
Charlotte Oklahoma
could,
City.
I think Charlotte could work as a Carolina team and then Oklahoma City maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, what about New Orleans?
I don't know.
New Orleans would be fun. That was on the list for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to go
I
to
could
a
see
game
that.
In New Orleans.
I think it'd be fun. You go for Mardi Gras, you catch a ball game. I don't know.
Maybe
it's
spring training.
I don't think that logistically that'll work out as great as you think it
does. Eat some beignets, you go get a fucking oyster shot. What was it called?
Stabbed on the way there.
Shooter.
Yeah, it's called an oyster shooter.
Yeah, I got an oyster shooter. I went for seconds on that. It was so good. Everybody else that in my group did not want to have any, but it was delicious.
It sounds like everybody in your group doesn't know what a good time is because oyster shooters
don't.
Are fantastic.
They are. All right, that is enough. We got from Spencer Jones to oyster shooters. That's the general trend of our timeline of this podcast. So thank you for tuning in. We will catch you on the next one. Hats off to us. We put out an episode when we were scheduled to. So not looking for all the claps in the world, but just a few would be nice because it's tough.
Don't get used to it.
Don't get used to it. All right. See you later.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.